Now let's see what we need to do, both those within the church and those not yet in the church, and especially for those who are kind of sitting on the sidelines, because today we have an unusual thing that takes place with those who come in contact with us. Many, many times they check out all the churches of God. They take their time. Many of them have been burned in the Catholic Church. I mean, by their doctrines, not physically, okay, doctrinally. And likewise with the Protestants. And so they're being very cautious. And I'm glad to see that they are. However, there comes a time for every one of us that we have to admit that our nature really, 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 really is, as the Bible said, wicked and desperately evil. Deceitful and desperately wicked, rather. Okay? And that that as human beings, we really, 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 really do not know how to live our lives. Even though you can be in a society considered a very good person. But God expects everyone to be a good person in the society. That's why he's given his laws to show right from wrong, good from evil, and so forth. Okay? And so let's come to Ezekiel 14, and let's see what we need to do, where we need to start. And it's where we left off, repentance. See? God says if we will repent, if we will rend our hearts and not our garments, ask God for the understanding to see your own faults and difficulties. Because lots of times, even the good that we do doesn't turn out as good as we thought it should be. Now, here is the setting. Ezekiel was in the, how shall we say, concentration camp, captivity camp over the river Kibar, with the children of Israel, and they were sent off because of their sins. So you stop and think, what will it take to change a mind? What will it take to change my mind? We can ask each one of us ourselves. So we have a good example here, because God wants us to start with the inside. Even a con man can do well with showing goodness on the outside. Verse 1, and some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. Oh, let's go to the prophet and find out what he has to say. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. So let's ask the question. What is my idol in my heart? What part of me am I not willing to admit to God? He knows. And put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces, should I at all be inquired by them? That's why there's no answer of God sometimes, see? Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel, that means every woman as well, because the last three letters of woman spells man, who sets up his idols in his heart, puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and that cuts you off from God, and comes to the prophet. I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols, so that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they have deserted me for their idols, all of them. And that's what we see today, don't we? Don't we have lots and lots of idols? They don't have to be churches. They can be things. They can be activities. They can be days of worship. You know, if you went on, say, for example, I'll just use Bill O'Reilly because he is a crusader for Christmas and Christmas trees. He would never accept the fact that God says those things are an abomination to me. And he would never, never accept the fact that the Christmas tree in reality is a celebration of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yet he demands truth in his presentations, but he doesn't give the truth in his book. Now, all of us are like that because that's human nature, okay? Just like little kids when they got caught doing wrong, he did it, not me. No, she did it. Verse 6, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent. That's what God wants, repentance. And after all, that's in the model prayer, isn't it? Forgive us our sins as we forgive others, and that's on a daily basis, just like our daily bread. Repent and turn yourselves from your idols. Now, the hardest ones are the ones that are here to get out. You can take some stupid idol and throw it away. And I think it's interesting. Remember when the Philistines captured the Ark of God because of the sins of Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli? They captured it, and it was a great and joyous day when they captured it because they took down all the Israelites. They didn't realize that they took down the Israelites because of the sin of the children of Israel, and God gave them the victory. So they took the Ark and put it in the house of Dagon. They got up in the morning, and guess what? Dagon fell flat on his face before the Ark of God. Now here's their God. What a witness to them, huh? Okay. Oh, well, we better put Dagon back up where he belongs. So they picked him up and hoisted him back up where he belonged. So then early the next morning, they go to check in, and here he is again. Boom! Now this time, his hands are cut off, and his head is cut off. A testimony of the power of God. See? So, unless you get rid of the idols in your mind, you might start identifying, what are my idols? And it can even include time. All right? So God says, repent, turn yourselves from your idols, and turn your faces from all your abominations. Now that's what God wants. Now what do you do? What do you do after that? Let's come to Amos. All right? Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. All right? There we go. Amos chapter 5. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 4. He was saying, I'm going to send you off into captivity. Then he says, verse 4, for thus says the Lord to the house of Israel. Amos 5 and verse 4. Seek me. How do you seek God? Repentance and prayer and seeking the word of God. And you shall live. But do not seek Bethel. What was Bethel? Well, that's where they had their idols. And enter not into Gilgal, and do not pass to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord, and you shall live. Now notice, he says it the second time, and you shall live. And what kind of life are we seeking? Eternal life. Yes, the physical life. We need to live physically, but we need to do it. And the reason that we have a physical life is so we can develop the spiritual character. See? Now notice, lest he break out like a fire on the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Now think of Britain and U.S. on that, and the Commonwealth countries. If you think it's bad in America, think how bad it is in Britain. Verse 7, you who turn judgment to wormwood, boy, that sounds like the Supreme Court, doesn't it? And leave off righteousness in the earth. Seek him who created Pleiades and Orion, who turned the deep darkness into morning, and him who darkens the day into night. Seek him who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Okay? That's who we are to seek. This is true. Now, we have a lot of people on our mailing list that you need to stop and think. What are you going to do? What is your life? What is your relationship with God? God says, repent, seek him. Now notice, come down here to verse 11. Therefore, because of your trampling upon the poor, and what do we have now? We have had how many trillions of dollars to get rid of poverty, and we have more poverty, and they are trampled upon, and there are parts in Chicago that you cannot go because they shoot everybody. And because you take tribute of the grain from him, though you have built houses of carved stone, you shall not dwell in them. Though you have planted desirable vineyards, you shall not drink the wine of them. For I know your many transgressions and your many sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, they turn aside the poor and the gate. Therefore the prudent shall keep silent in that time, for it is an evil time. That's what I want us to understand. We are living in an evil time. And just because it hasn't come to your front door yet doesn't mean that everything is well. So he says here, verse 14, seek good and not evil, that you may live. So he says it four times. Okay? And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil, turn from it, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate, that it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Now what do they have to forsake? All right, let's start right here with the end of chapter 5. Verse 21, you religious? You've been going to church Sunday for years? You've been keeping Halloween, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, and all of those things? Well, we have a lot of material on the Feast of God. Now, you want to get right with God? Then you have to understand what God says. If you want to know how to have your mind changed, you have to know how God thinks. You want to really identify the sins that you have and want to get rid of them, then you have to understand what the Word of God is and how he views things, even what is accepted as good in the society. Come down here to verse 21. I hate. You may love it. You may go into the store here pretty soon and you will hear Frank Sinatra singing, Christmas is the best time of the year. But God says, I hate. I despise your feast days. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. That's why no one dare read a scripture into Sunday school anymore. Yes, tell us good stories. Give us good things. Don't tell us that Sunday is wrong. Don't tell us that Christmas is wrong. Don't tell us that God hates and despises Halloween. And isn't that the first one in the year for the occult holidays? And why do they do it? You always bring it up. Why do they do it? Oh, for the children. Oh, yes. Indoctrinate them into death and destruction, but feed them all kinds of candy and goodies. And isn't it interesting? 2 weeks after Halloween, what do you have? The flu season. I wonder if there's any connection. Okay? Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, though you stand up and pray and say what a wonderful thing this is, how great this wonderful choir sings every Sunday morning. Now, there's a world famous choir. It's called the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And they are really, really good. and they can sing a lot of very inspiring songs. But does that make Christmas good? Does that make Sunday acceptable? Think about it. What does God say? Verse 23, take the noise of your songs away from me, for I will not hear the melody of your harps. Yeah, they ought to do that in some of those, you know, during the Christmas season when they go shopping, you know, and it's all the days of Baal, isn't it? Yes, it is. And they keep everybody indoctrinated and brainwashed Satan's way with good sounding music and wonderful little skits. We'll have the children have a Christmas play at school, the way of the world. So God says, verse 24, let judgment roll down like water. Find out what's right and wrong, good and evil. Make a right judgment. And righteousness like a mighty stream. Have you offered sacrifices and offerings to me 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? Even when God was right there with a cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire by nighttime, what did they do? They went off and secretly offered to their gods. So God says, you're going into captivity. All right, let's come back just a few pages to Micah. Okay, forward rather. Micah, let's come to Micah 6. How do you return to God? Okay, how do you return to God? Let's come here to verse 6. Number one, you have to repent. Number two, you have to ask God to help you understand all the idols in your mind. Number three, you have to be willing to change your thoughts, your practices, and your way of living to walk in the way of the Lord. So verse 6 says, all right, Micah 6, with what shall I come before the Lord to bow myself before God the Most High? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Yeah, it's a great sacrificial thing that you can do. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? That's what the children of Israel did. Oh, we'll cover our sins by offering our firstborn to Moloch. Aren't we good people? Aren't we dedicated? Yes. The fruit of my body for the sin of my life? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but you to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God? That's what God expects. So let's see how we need to do this. Let's come to Isaiah 55. Now, this doesn't cost you anything. This is gracious and free from God. And he will lead anyone who seeks him. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Here's what God wants us to do. And we need to seek God early every day in our lives, don't we? How many people come along and say, oh, God, I in such a hurry, I'll get to you tomorrow. So then what happens tomorrow? Something else happens. God, I intended to. I'll get to you tomorrow. I'll pray while I'm driving my car. Okay? Well, that's not exactly on your knees. It's better than ignoring God. Okay? Isaiah 55. You have to come to God. Remember what the Beatitude is. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Correct? Yes. Verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, the water of life, the waters of truth, the waters of healing. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Isaiah 55:1. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Those are all descriptions of the Word of God. And it is true. And it is righteous. And He's given us a way of life. Verse 2. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for what never satisfies? Hearken diligently to me. That's what God wants. Hear the word of God, and hearken means hear and do. Okay? Diligently, not forgetfully. And eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Bow down your ear, and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And that is the new covenant. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a prince and a commander of the people, and that expands out to Christ. Okay? I'll come down here to, let's go right through verse 5. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know. This is the calling going to the whole world instead of Israel. A nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. And that's what God wants, see? Look at all the people today that play church, all the Sunday keepers and even Sabbath keepers. There are a good number of them. They play church, okay? God wants to give you glory, honor, eternal life. That's what it's all about. See, and all the churches have done so many things contrary to that, that it's very difficult for some people to really believe that that is true. But it is. So then he says, here's how to do it. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. There's got to be a change of thinking. And that can only come with the Spirit of God. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And here is the whole key that God wants. What does it say there in Philippians, the second chapter, verse 5? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, correct? Yes, indeed. Notice, verse 8, right here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. See, God wants to educate you and give you the greatest ability to think and understand through his word. Greater than all the geniuses in the world, the great elite of the world, whom God calls, because they reject him, fools. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, now that's how God wants us to have our thoughts lifted too, you see. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So there has to be that change, okay? God's word is going to go out, and it's going to produce what he desires. He says so. Now come down here to chapter 56. Let's see what else God says we need to do. And we also find here the very first thing we need to start doing. Remember how God says he hates the feasts and religious celebrations of this world, whatever the religion may be. God has his own. So he says here, verse 1, thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness. And righteousness is the way of God. For my salvation is near to come. And are we living in the last days or not? Yes, indeed. And my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that does this. You want a blessing from God? You want proof from God? Here's what he says to do. And the Son of Man who lays hold of it, who keeps the Sabbath. Now then, that is a start. That is not a finish. And we have a lot of things concerning the Sabbath. Now, I got a letter from a man the other day who said, well, I used to be a Seventh-day Adventist, and I have discovered that almost everything they say and do except the Sabbath deviates from the Bible, some a little, some a whole lot. See? Because the SDAs have not been vigilant to keep Satan out. But that's where you start, okay? Who keeps the Sabbath from profaning it and keeps his hand from doing any evil? And then we saw otherwise in Ezekiel 14, to repent of the idols and return to God. Yes. Verse 4, for thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths. Now it's expanded out to God's holy days too, isn't it? And choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Okay? Even to them. I will give within my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and daughters, and I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Okay, then he talks about those who, of the strangers who do so. Okay? So that's where to start. So if you're kind of sitting on the fence wondering, well, what should I do? How should I live my life? I look out there and I see all these churches and they all claim to be right. Well, check it with the Bible, okay? Check it with the truth. And understand this too, that God never gave a ministry to exalt itself over the brethren, to exalt itself and take great titles and names to itself. So if they claim that they are the only one, or if a man says that I'm this great so-and-so, even though they do some of the things of God, you need to understand that you better go a little further in checking out. See? Remember what Jesus said right there in Matthew 24 and in Mark 13 and in Luke 21. Beware, for many false prophets shall come in my name saying, I am the Christ. But you shall know them by their fruit. Okay? Now then, let's finish up by coming to Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation 3. Now, we have many, many things we can help people with. And the reason that we have the Bible the way it is because it explains a lot of things for you to understand. And to understand the Word of God. Because it's been so maligned and so pushed aside and so ridiculed by Satanists within religious organizations that it's hard to really believe the Bible. Well, God can open up your mind. He has the power of His Spirit to do it. Okay? Now let's talk about some of those who've been in the church a long time. There's a lot of us. And remember, don't be like the one man who was so arrogant who said that he was an apostle of God. And did he actually, I heard him from the pulpit say, I have been faithful to God for so long that Satan no longer has any interest in me. Gotcha. You have to be faithful every day that you draw breath and never brag on your accomplishments. That God has worked through you. Now, chapter 3, and let's pick it up here in verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Now, Laodiceans are those who are rich and increased with goods, as we will see. Write. These things says the Amen. The finality is coming. The faithful and true witness, the beginner of the creation of God. I know your works. He says that to all the seven churches. God knows our works. That you are neither cold nor hot. God would rather have you totally unconverted and out in the world so that you could make it to the second resurrection than to be lukewarm in the church and have your own idols in your own minds and leaders and teachers who water down the Word of God and change it and make it sound nice and smooth. Okay? So what's going to happen? It says, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, for those who have been in the church a long time, has that occurred? Yes, indeed. It's a historical fact. For you say, I am rich and have become wealthy. See, I have all these blessings from God because I have been so good and have need of nothing. And you do not understand that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, because you become spiritually blinded. You become satisfied. See, never, ever, ever. You don't have to condemn yourself. You don't have to go around with a guilty conscience. But never be satisfied with where you are before God. Maintain your relationship through prayer and study. And be zealous for the word of God and God's way. So God says here, okay, I counsel you to buy from me gold purified by fire. Now gold is the highest quality of character. So God wants us to have the highest quality of character, see? Not just things and goods, but the golden character which comes from God. So that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and to anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. See clearly through the lens of Scripture, through the Spirit of God. God loves you. Says, as many as I love, I love you. Jesus said of Israel, I have an everlasting love for you. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. That's what God wants. And that's where we started with the whole thing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Behold, I stand at the door, close to the end. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, you have to respond to God. See? I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Shows that the relationship got so far out of whack that Christ is not there on a permanent basis. And he's got to come back in. Okay? And to sup with him and he with me means that you have a personal relationship with God. Just like you sit down at a meal and eat and you talk. And you talk about your life and things or whatever it may be. And this is a spiritual thing that we do with Christ. So he'll give you the power to overcome. To the one who overcomes, will I give authority to sit with me in my throne. Now that's pretty awesome indeed, isn't it, huh? Even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now then, let's understand this. The letters to the seven churches are direct quotes from Christ, who's the head of the church. These are not written without God speaking directly to John to write this. And he told him, write and send it to the seven churches. And this is a prophecy and history of the church. It begins with the churches at the time that John wrote this, carries down through the eons of time until the return of Christ. And at the end, I believe it describes all the attitudes of the churches of God as God sees them. Okay? So if we listen to that, God always accepts repentance. Always. If it's from the heart, and if you ask God to give you the understanding so that you can, he will. This is why God is there. This is why when you get, like I felt, beat up, feel exhausted just listening to the news and all the crazy stuff that's going on, come back to God. Turn that silly thing off because it'll be the same thing tomorrow, okay? You aren't going to miss anything, okay? Now also pray this, It's possible. Because I think next week I'm going to bring the 14 things that have to happen in prophecy before Christ returns. Now, I've given this many times periodically through the years. So it's possible, and I hope it may occur, that things, there are enough people trying to do enough good in the society, because remember, God looks at the nations differently than he looks at the church, because they're not converted, okay? That there are enough people out there trying to do enough good that everything we see happening will have a reprieve for a while so that the churches of God can preach the gospel the way they need to. And that's part of my prayer. I hope that happens. But whatever comes, comes. However it falls, it falls. And so we have to make sure that we're right with God. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.